Support for this day in esoteric political history comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is the only software your business will ever need. Featuring a suite of integrated business applications, Odoo connects your business operations together so you can get more done in less time. Odoo has apps for everything: CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, marketing, manufacturing, you name it, Odoo's got it. To learn more, visit odoo.com/thisday. That's odoo.com/thisday. Hello and welcome to This Day in Esoteric Political History from Radiotopia. My name is Jody Avergan. This day, October 31st, 2015, Louisiana Senator David Vitter is officially running on fumes in his campaign for governor. Vitter was a two-time senator, now hoping to switch lanes and become governor in the upcoming election. Sure, he'd had some scandal in his past, more on that in a moment, but he should have been doing better than this. So the question is, why were his prospects so dim and falling so quickly just a few days before the election? Well, that's because a week earlier, a bizarre incident took place that exposed various and bungled attempts at spying among the various and bungling GOP candidates for governor. It was an incident that the Times-Picayune in New Orleans described as, quote, an explosion of espionage that feels a bit like a miniature Cold War being fought in Jefferson Parish and New Orleans. So, look, it is complicated. One spy spying on a group that happens to include a different spy. So very complicated, but also maybe classic Louisiana politics. So here to discuss this spy versus spy and this 2015 election for Louisiana governor are, as always, Nicole Hemmer of Columbia and Kelly Carter-Jackson of Wellesley. Hello there.
Hello, Jody.
Hey there.
So, look, I should say right off the bat, we try not to be one of these history shows. And I think we do a pretty good job where it's like we read Wikipedia the night before and then we just tell you what we learned. We try to bring some context and some analysis and some depth and so forth. That said, for this episode, I feel like if we can simply lay out the basics of this case, we will have done a great service and told a good story. It is, you know, there's some twists and turns. There's lots of names. We each have our little cheat sheets in front of us to figure out.
It's why I actually have Glenn Beck's chalkboards right here. So I'm connecting all the dots. Can't see it on the podcast, but
yes. So, you know, we will try and layer in just the basics, and then we will get maybe to a little bit of bigger thoughts about what it all means. But what it actually just what it is as a Wikipedia entry is still pretty wild. So this all begins in a coffee shop. There's a meeting at a coffee shop among a bunch of political operatives, generally supporters of Bel Edwards, who's the Democratic candidate, but they're all getting together and, you know, we can call them lobbyists, influencers, backers, whatever, operatives. And in walks a man named Robert Frenzel. So who is Robert Frenzel and what is he doing sidling up to this group at this coffee shop?
So Robert Frenzel is a 30-year-old man from Texas who apparently works for an investigative firm. This firm that operates out of Dallas received large sums of cash from Vitter to investigate his political opponents. And when we say large sums of cash, we're talking about $135,000 worth of money to investigate political opponents that Senator David Vitter will be running against. So Robert Frenzel is at this coffee shop, and he is video recording the conversation between Sheriff Newell Norman and State Senator Danny Martini while they're having breakfast in this cafe. They see him recording him and basically call him out. And Frenzel starts to run away from the restaurant because he doesn't want to be caught. Eventually, he gets found, and he's found hiding behind an air conditioning unit. And
wonderful detail.
He couldn't find bushes. It is what it is. He gets found behind this air conditioning unit. They book him on one count of criminal mischief. And Norman said, you know, that there's probable cause to arrest him for, like, interception of communications. But that's sort of where the story starts to take on more plot twists.
Okay. So the name to keep in mind is this guy Frenzel, who walks in. He's spying on behalf of the Republican candidate, Vitter. Mm-hmm. The details of what he's up to there, we'll talk about his motivations, but I have this sense of, like, I think he has a iPhone tucked kind of into his jacket, and he's recording, and he sort of got it open. But I know I picture this thing where it's like the classic, like, can you say that again, but like a little closer, you know, and like leaning forward.
Speaking
and
to someone, this flower on my lapel.
Yeah, exactly. Like sort of. And then someone looks down his shirt and it's like, what do you have there? And this is where he runs and hides behind an air conditioning unit. But what, as far as we can tell, is Frenzel actually doing there? What kind of spying is he? First off, we should say ostensibly this person, a professional spy, right? Works for an agency that does this, but you know, we can judge his how qualified he is. But what are his motivations there? What information is he trying to get on behalf of the Republican Vitter?
So it seems like he's trying to do a couple of things. One is to record this conversation and get political dirt. But the other is that he is trying to figure out who is responsible for leaking this very damaging information about David Vitter to a political blogger in Louisiana who has been conducting negative coverage of Vitter for 5 years at this point. This blogger, Jason Bradbury, had just released like 90 minutes of footage of this woman who claimed that Vitter had paid her for sex and had also fathered a child with her. And this gets released right before the election and has a real impact on Vitter's polls. And so one of the things that Frenzel is trying to do is to tie all of this to the Edwards campaign in order to discredit it.
I'm realizing my role here is I'm like Michael Barbaro, who 90% of what he does is just restate what the person just said, which is a very effective technique, I will say. I'm a fan of The Daily, but I feel like that's the kind of hand-holding I need to be doing here, if only for myself. So we have Frenzel going in because there is this barrage of dirt that is coming from the Bel Edwards campaign against the Republican Vitter. So Frenzel is already sort of engaged in a little bit of counter espionage because they're trying to at least combat a barrage of espionage that had come their way. Now, these stories that you're referring to, this is where I suppose we have to layer in David Vitter's interesting past. So he is now a two-time senator trying to run for governor. But a decade earlier or so, he had been mired in a scandal, as you were referring to here, which probably could have been an episode of its own that we could have done, but the DC Madam scandal. And this is where David Vitter showed up basically on a list of clients for a madam in DC and a high-end prostitution ring. And he was sort of mired in that. He clearly survived, became a senator for two terms, still had a political future. But this has now come rearing its head again, not just as, oh, this thing that happened in the past, but new information coming out. And then sort of next level to that scandal, right?
Right. This idea that the sex scandal, even though the public has kind of gotten over it, they don't want to be reminded of it. And so the idea that he is continuing to engage in this behavior, especially in a state like Louisiana, which at the time, you know, they clearly had some tolerance for Vitter's previous acts. But now the idea that there might be a child involved, it just is starting to become a little bit too much for the Louisiana electorate.
So the last wrinkle that I think we need to add on here is that we have this context of this dirt coming out about Vitter. We have Vitter's spy going in to try and figure out, well, what's going on here? You know, let me get some counter dirt here. In this group, in this coffee shop, happens to be the spy who was responsible for leaking all this new information about Vitter, a man by the name of Danny Deneux. So this is why this story is often referred to as spy versus spy, because we have a spy going in to spy on a group of people that happens to include the spy that led to the information that he was trying to counter intelligence.
Who knew that Louisiana coffee shops were so scandalous and so spy the center of an international spy ring?
Louisiana, it's corrupt politicians. It's a lot. It's a lot to take in.
It does seem like the Edwards spy, this Danny Deneux, was a better spy. Not only because he had collected all of this dirt, successfully gotten it to a political operative, and kept his hands clean, as far as we know at the moment, you know, kept it from being tied back to the Edwards campaign. But he's also not the one being chased out of a coffee shop and hiding behind air conditioning units. Correct. So I feel like he's got one up on Frenzel.
That's true.
Poor Frenzel.
And as far as we know, Kelly, yep. Deneux, I mean, he's in friendly territory, right? There's rumors that the person who actually sort of is backing him is among this group, but he's not engaged in any spying at the moment. It's not exactly spy versus spy where two people are unwittingly spying on each other. They're you know, concentric spying or something like that. But Danu is not actively spying at this coffee shop. He's just getting, you know, he's just getting breakfast with some people who may have given him some money to do, dig up some dirt, you know, in the week's prior.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes it so difficult to follow the plot lines, is because this is not about, you know, two spies that are going head to head. So it really is then, it really isn't a coincidence that he just so happens to be at this breakfast, at this gathering. But it could be easily misinterpreted because of his job, that he is also actively engaged in something much more nefarious, but that's actually not what's happening.
Yeah, this is more spy adjacent to spy than spy versus spy.
There's more details and more wrinkle and more fallout here. We can circle back to the question of, if you're being chased out of a coffee shop, is hiding behind a residential air conditioning unit the best place to hide? I would personally, especially if I was a spy, you know, I would probably have a fake mustache in my pocket, and I would try and do the whole like blend into the crowd kind of thing. Maybe like in the Fugitive, you know, find a parade or something to like work your way into.
That's
and
right.
disappear. But you know, nope, cower behind an air conditioner. He's caught. There's this larger thing. If we take half a step back and look at this story, one is, this is happening so late in the game that I just have this fundamental question of like, what exactly is hoping to be accomplished here? Like, I understand it's 2015, not that long ago. I understand news can go really fast, but like, this is literally the day before people start voting in this election. So like, what's the goal here?
I think this is a Hail Mary. You know what I mean? I think this is a desperate attempt to try to undermine or reveal some sort of scandal that Vitter thought would give him a boost. And it just, it backfires. It backfires horribly. Not only does he get caught in this or get tethered to this, but also he doesn't get any information that would have, you know, undermined his political opponent. So none of this really works for him. And if anything, it's worse, because when he loses, I mean, the poll numbers are even worse than probably anticipated.
Yeah,
and because this spy, Frenzel, in his car was actually a dossier on the blogger who released the information about the woman who said that Vitter had paid for sex from her, and that just puts that story back at the top of the news cycle. It's completely bungled from top to bottom. But you can understand why Vitter is, he believes that something has to give to switch this election back into his favor, because he was the prohibitive favorite to win this election. No Democrat had won statewide election in a while in Louisiana, and this race was considered unwinnable by the Democrats. And now all of a sudden, John Bel Edwards comes swooping in. He was considered somebody who wasn't going to go anywhere, and now he's winning. And Vitter just has to believe that something has to change in order to get him to win this election, because everyone believes he's going to win this election.
But it is this interesting thing of like, what they were hoping to do was to counteract or like cast doubt about the provenance of these rumors that had come out.
Yeah.
But to both of your point, like, you're still talking about that main thing.
Yeah.
And when it's this late in the game for voters to sort of get that nuance and plant that seed of doubt.
It's not enough
and
time.
Rethink that scandal. You know, it's like, you're almost better off dig up like a whole new batch of dirt and just change the narrative rather than just like try and add complexity and nuance. I mean, you know, what do I know? But it just seems like
nuance is impossible in the news. Nuance
this
is impossible.
Late in the game.
Yeah. Like, you can't get people to think about all these different layers that you're trying to get them to, you know, pivot towards. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there is this other element here, and I think about this with like all sorts of political shenanigans, and what was rat fucking was the like legendary term that the Nixon administration used for like digging up dirt and like fighting all these little fights. And, you know, I always go back and forth on how much voters can follow. Like, this just feels like a good 80% of this is just people who don't like each other, just like just trying to rat fuck each other and like not actually doing stuff that will change voters' minds, but really just playing spy games and getting back at longtime opponents and just trying to kind of like, you know, boys will be boys kind of bullshit. And so like, I just don't have a sense of like how this actually connects to your average voter making a sort of holistic decision about who to vote for. This stuff gets so in the weeds. Mm-hmm.
So first of all, I thought we were done with rats on this podcast.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Please.
Second of all, I mean, I do think one of the things that we've seen in recent years is that creating the air of scandal, even if there's nothing there, can have a political effect. And, you know, that might not have been the case, you know, when the little dirty tricks that the Nixon administration was playing in 72, but it has in recent years had some impact.
Right. Well, though we have also seen, though, and maybe it's, you know, this is where it's important to point out, this is in 2015, not that long ago. But, you know, we have also seen that, like, the internet brain is able to follow some pretty twisty and windy and conspiratorial stuff. And so maybe there was a whole group of voters here who were really, like, tracking this and all the twists and turns. So, you know, just to give a sense of, like, how this actually comes out in the wash and sort of which narratives emerge, you know, there is a short statement by a Republican operative talking about Vitter, who basically says, quote, "He's been caught cheating, lying, and now spying. Voters have seen enough from David Vitter to know two things. He is corrupt, and he can't be elected in a runoff." And, you know, that's what we're talking about, just like distilling it to a very simple thing. And Vitter's trying to reverse that narrative, but as we've been saying, clearly just reinforces that narrative, like, this guy is corrupt and flailing and now spying and bungling. That's, you know, that's that narrative. That narrative seems to prevail, Kelly, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I don't think that he can recover from that. And I think he was already sort of facing a losing battle. And that really becomes the death blow. On top of that, you have this secret robocall that President Obama records urging African Americans to vote for Edwards, timed perfectly to go out right at like 5:30 p.m. So, you know, the Vitter campaign can't really respond to that either. So it's like a 1-2 punch. And then by the end of the night, you know, the election's pretty much called early, around 9:03. The final results are in. Edwards has won by 56.11%. And Vitter winning about 43%. So yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's a pretty widespread for a Democrat to be winning in Louisiana. Oh, yeah.
In Louisiana. Can we say that again? Louisiana. Like, that to me is just mind-boggling.
And it's probably worth saying that Louisiana has this thing that's referred to as a jungle primary, where the primary is just every candidate from all the political primaries are together. So it's like, Edwards is in there along with Vitter and a bunch of other Republicans. Edwards and Vitter finish 1-2. And then, as you were describing, it's just 2 weeks later that they face each other again. And it's basically the same result, maybe even a bigger margin for Edwards. But Edwards is elected as Democrat. So, you know, that's the result of the election. Edwards wins re-election again, is still the governor of Louisiana. What happens to our various cast of characters and our various spies? Is there any fallout?
I mean, prosecutors refuse to charge Frenzel. So, you know, he kind of gets seen as this amateur spy, and they don't really see a need to pursue it any further. So that's sort of the end of that. But hopefully he's learned a very valuable lesson about how to be an investigator.
And Vitter was in the Senate at the time. He doesn't run for re-election in 2016. And that's kind of, at least so far, the end of his political career. He's a lobbyist now, as most former senators are.
Right. All right.
I think that in there.
This is going to be on the. I think this is in the canon of. I was trying to remember what was the. We did a recent episode that was basically like, let's confuse our listeners as much as possible. Oh, the one where they changed the date.
My gosh, the calendar.
They changed the calendar. Yeah. So this isn't as confusing as that. This is definitely at least at best number two on the confusing index. But hopefully, listeners, you followed the twists and turns here of spy versus spy. Just know that. All you need to know about Louisiana politics is that this is like just in the conversation for craziest story, but definitely not a shoo-in by any means. And so that tells you a lot. All right. That's the end of the episode. Nicole Hemmer, thanks to you.
Thank you, Jody.
And Kelly Carter Jackson, thanks to you.
My pleasure.
This Day in Esoteric Political History is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a network of independent, listener-supported, artist-owned podcasts. Our researcher and producer is Jacob Belbin. Our producer is Brittany Brown. Kaola Nakua helps with transcripts. Julie Shapiro is executive producer for Radiotopia. Get in touch with us if you have any questions or comments or ideas for the show. You can email us thisdaypod@gmail.com, or you can find a form at thisdaypod.com, where you can also get our full archives, transcripts, and learn lots more about the show. Follow us on social at thisdaypod on Instagram and Twitter, where we are posting stuff each and every day. My name is Jody Avergan. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you soon.
The private investigator works for a firm hired by the Vitter campaign, but his actions, not so private. Frenzel was caught recording a meeting with Jefferson Parish Sheriff Newell Norman and others. He's been cleared to return to Texas after being booked on a criminal mischief charge.
Radiotopia.